Because what we, again, as experience as a church together, you take to your own personal life and your family, and the same aspects come into play. So how does God lead us in life? I want to just give you four things here to think through. How does God going to lead you in life? Four key parts. The first one is this. There's a desire that starts in the heart. There usually is a desire that for change or for direction or for that adventure with God, something that starts to grip you. It's not something that's fleeting. It sticks in your heart. You can't let it go in a sense. And sometimes it starts years before in different aspects, maybe through natural means. See, years ago, we were at a board meeting and the question was brought up, what would we do in the sanctuary if we needed to replace worn out carpet? We had pews in here and a sloped floor. What would we do in those things? Where would we go? What would that look like? For 21 years, we had the pews and the sloped floor in this place. Changing it out would not happen in a week. It would be a major, major thing. And so 5 or 6 years ago, we set out to revamp Building F over there. And some of you were part of that painting project, and then we redid the carpet and things, so that when the time came, we had a good place to go. Now, why is that important? Because Psalms 23, we read about the Lord's care for us. And it says that he makes them lie down in what? Green pastures. And then he restores their soul. And as a pastor, as kind of an under-shepherd, that's what we wanted to do, was find what would be that green pasture for that season so that we can be refreshed. We can have our soul restored. And Building F became that. When we moved over there from January through April, it was fun. It was exciting. We were squished together. The worship was kind of energized, and the fellowship. And what's fascinating is our church grew when we came into a smaller place. So next week we're meeting in a closet. No, but it's just what God does. But what we see in this place here, it started with a desire years ago at a meeting. You read about this in Philippians 2:13. For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good pleasure. So what happens is desire now sits in a waiting room. Lord, you put that desire in our hearts. What do we do? Again, whether it's missions or something else, what do we do? And you're sitting there waiting upon God. You can't force it. You just have to be ready for when God wants to take the next step. Next thing is a design then is laid out. If God was to lead us or you in a next step of faith, then what's needed to see that come about? Sometimes you have to sit down and you have to go, okay, Lord, your right timing is going to come with little evidences. And we called this our three M's for us in this project: the momentum spiritually, the money physically, and a man with the ability. We needed those things. And so going back to the momentum spiritually, in 2023, God began to move upon my heart in a pretty radical way, just this real revival taking place. And if you weren't here back then, it was, I can't explain it, except it was the Lord, the hunger for his word, and it started to bleed out into the church. We begin to see some really radical things taking place in a sense where in 2023, we saw 49 people get saved. We hadn't seen that in the years past. And I remember I was up in Colorado a year from that point, and I was up there visiting my parents, and I was going on a walk, and I just said, Lord, are you done? And he spoke to my heart and said, I'm not done if you're not done. And I said, okay, let's keep going. And so in 2024, we began to see God move and continue to move. 59 people got saved. Yeah. And last year, 2025, 90 people got saved. And so here's what I'm getting to you is the momentum spiritually shifting. God is preparing hearts so they're in the right place. So when he wants to do something next, the hearts are ready to go, yes, Lord, I'm on board. Let's do that. So momentum is good, but what about the finances? The money needed to be there. In 2019 or so, God put upon my heart to offer a class here at church on a Saturday morning for people who need to get their wills and their estates and their, you know, all that stuff together. I've been to too many funerals watching where people didn't have anything set up and the person died. It was just a mess for the family. And if you haven't done that, I encourage you to do that. But we offered this class and no one signed up. I'm not going to say shame on you, because I'm going to tell you what happened. There was one guy who signed up, or one guy who said, hey, I'll do that. His name was Marlon Dewar. And so I said, Marlon, we're not going to hold a class for one person. Why don't you just meet with them, and you set things up and go from there? And honestly, we had never done that before, and I have never offered it since. It slipped my mind completely. It was done. It was over. In 2023, Marlon Dewar, who had been a big part of this church in many ways, came down with brain cancer. And of course, it was shocking. He went through the chemotherapy and such, and he seemed to be doing okay until 2024. It came back again, and this time he said, I'm ready to go home. I'm ready to go home. And upon his passing there, November of 2024, we learned that he put Calvary North as heir to his estate. He wasn't married. He had no kids. You guys were his family. You're a family he served with, family he loved, family that he poured into. He was a part of worship and stuff. So he wanted to bless you. He wanted to bless you as his family. And invest in God's work to go beyond his life. And so the board, we prayed about what to do would be the best way to honor a friend. And this house was his home. And he had mentioned to Matt, who was leading worship, that one day if he had the money to do it, he would update the sanctuary. And so we as a board said, well, I think this is what would be the best way to honor a friend. The estate brought in enough to cover about 75% of the cost to revamp the place. The money was there to get started, but there were still aspects to walk by faith. We still had trust in God. 25% is still a lot of money in this project, but it sure was a unique way in which God would do something. I've never seen this happen before, and so you look at these things and go, fingerprints of God are starting. The momentum spiritually, the money financially, but we still had one other thing, and that is, do we have the man with the ability and skill set and contract license to get this done, or do we have to hire outside, and how much is that going to cost and all that? It was probably around 2021-ish. A guy rolls into church on a Sunday. He's a broken man. I'm not going to look at you, dude, because I'm going to cry. He's a broken man, and he's seeking the Lord, and God was beginning to put his life back together. He had various businesses, but he was really in a season of his life where he just did a timeout, say, I need to reset and get back on track with God. And so he spent time helping around at the church, doing janitorial stuff. We built a relationship, and I learned he had a construction business. And eventually he came on staff to help maintain the property while still doing his handyman construction business on the side. But never did it cross my mind about this guy and this sanctuary project until after Marlon's passing, November 2024. And then I found out he had a general contractor's license. And so now we not only had the funds to get started, we had the spiritual momentum, and we had the guy in place with the skill set who not only had the skill set, but he loved this church because this was his church. This was his home. And so Chris, he's a guy who's an optimist, I'll tell you that. He definitely is. He had no problem taking on such tasks. He's got his weird little mannerisms. He'd walk around and be like, hey, do-do-do-do-do-do-do, you know. He's got his little thing. He's always humming him to himself and facing problems. It's like, hey, let's see what God wants to do. It's such a blessing when you start any project to have an optimist and not a pessimist. You never want a pessimist in a project going, oh, I don't know if we're ever going to get through this. It's over. So here we had the desire, we had the design in hand, and now came the step of faith. After working with architects for months and putting things together, I finally presented it to you guys on November, it was the end of November. I said, after the Christmas season, January, we are going to be moving into Building F, and we're going to be taking down this place and redoing it. And at that time, we put out a prayer card with realistic expenses to do such a project, from painting to carpeting to everything that's in here now. We do a full information, no solicitation. Just said, if you want to help out, there's a QR code, scan it, and you can give and help out. And I knew that God had to move on hearts. I knew that God moved through prayer. I've seen it in my life. You've seen it in yours. But an interesting thing is I felt the Lord speak to my heart. He said, don't take out a loan for this. Let me work my testimony my way. I'm not saying it's wrong to take out a loan. I just felt a real impression from the Lord say, don't for this. And so, praise be to God, we are able to cash flow this whole thing. No loans. God's work. But along the way, you run into obstacles. You run into challenges. You run into when you take a step of faith and you step out of that boat on the water, you are now going, okay. And the waves start happening and the enemy starts beating and battering. I want to share with you the third step is a direction from God's word. And these are verses that came to me when I was in my quiet time with the Lord. Just happened to be where I'm reading that day. And I want to share with you those verses. I'm not going to share with you all of them, but just some of them. One of them is, they're actually written here in the stage underneath all this. One of them is Proverbs 24, verses 3 and 4. It says this, the house is built by wisdom and becomes strong through good sense. Through knowledge, its rooms are filled with all sorts of precious riches and valuables. And Psalms 20, verse 4, may he grant you your heart's desire and make all your plans succeed. And I felt the Lord just saying, you know what, this is my desire first, yours second. I'm going to fill this room with valuable things, people I love. And you guys are the riches and the values in God's building. We appreciate the carpet and the chairs and all that stuff, but the church is the people, we all know that. And you guys are valuable to him. Joshua 1, verse 2, it said this, the time has come for you to lead these people into the land I am giving them. And I remember the Lord saying, you know what? Forward in faith is always one step at a time. When you face that challenge, you go forward in faith one step at a time. It's not five steps. It's not leaps and bounds. It's just one step. Give them one step. Walking by faith doesn't mean you have it all figured out. That's the whole point of it. You're walking by faith. You're trusting the Lord. And you're giving God room to work as he sees fit. And then there was Psalms 84, verse 11 and 12. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man who trusts in you. And it was here that the Lord spoke to my heart. He said, I will provide and I will prevail. And we're in the midst of this in light of all the things going on. What's interesting is that on March 1st, God spoke to my heart. It was a Sunday morning. I was sitting there reading my Bible before church, and he says, this month is going to be a month of battles. Now, those aren't words you want to hear when you face with the Lord. You always want blessings and things like that. He says, it's going to be battles. Gear up. And I knew there were certain battles I had that month, but I had no idea what I would have to face. And so I wrote them down. March 13th, I had an accident on the freeway that totaled my car. On March 14th, I began to be sick, and it lasted for 10 days. March 20th, some of my family almost was hit by a car again. March 29th, we got the news we wouldn't be in there by Easter, but these are the things that the enemy wants to do to wear you down. And yet the Lord told me it would be a month of battles. So April 1st comes around, and I'm really looking forward to it. I said, all right, Lord, I know you don't give me a word every month. What is it? He says, the battles will turn to blessings. And he gave me this verse out of Psalms 116, verse 7. Return to your rest, O my soul, for the Lord has been good to you. And if I could encourage you, maybe that's what you need to hear this morning. You're franticking, you're panicking, you're worried about what's going to happen, you don't have it all figured out, and you need to just rest in the Lord. He's been good to you. He's not going to drop you, man. He's faithful. He's kind. 2 Chronicles 15, 7, but as for you, be strong and courageous, for your work will be rewarded. Psalms 112, verse 7, they do not fear bad news. They confidently trust the Lord to care for them. Our concrete readings weren't dropping. Our timetable was getting extended a little bit. We had some issues with the rails and things like that and electrical problems. Oh, my goodness. We'll share with you in a moment on that. But God, we trust him to care for us from beginning to end. We came to the last week of things, and knowing the stresses and stuff, God gave those verses that were needed. April 14th, I sent this to Chris, 1 Chronicles 28, 20. Then David continued, be strong and courageous and do the work. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord God, my God, is with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. He will see to it that all the work related to the temple of the Lord is finished correctly. And then April 17th, 2 days before our first service, the Lord gave me this verse, 2 Chronicles 7, 15 through 16. My eyes will be open and my ears attentive to every prayer made in this place. For I have chosen this temple and have set it apart to be holy, a place where my name will be honored forever. I will always watch over it, for it is dear to my heart. And this place is God's place. We want to honor his name. But over and over, we saw God's handiwork through it, through the battles and through things, his word sustaining and his promises fitting together. And there's times when you say, no way, it's going to happen. And the enemy's punching you in the gut. And you're just going, oh, man. But over and over, God says, I will provide, I will prevail. Let me work. So we have that desire in heart, that design in hand. We have that direction from his word through the battles. And the last thing I want to give you is this, the details that speak and show it in a practical way. This was God's work and not just man's. And so I'm going to have Chris, why don't you come on up here, and he's going to grab a mic, and we're going to share a little bit with you. All right, I know some of you over here are looking at the backside, so we're going to try to be kind to you, make sure we get all across. So we just want to take a few minutes. I want to walk with you through some of the practicalities, things that you don't know that happened during the week, and just how God worked, because those are important in the process. So why don't you start off and share a few?
I just want to say thank you, everybody, because this is a body, and this is a family, and we came together, and we put this all together. And then we all had a part in this, whether it was through prayer, finance, blood, sweat, tears, 20-hour days on campus. We all had a part. I just wanted to say thank you so much for trusting and believing and praying. Because I know there's moments I had doubts. There were a few.
You did?
Oh. There was a few. No, there's some amazing stories to go. I mean, just from the beginning and the get-go, it was a fun demolition. Mm. We had pulled the golf cart in here, and we're tearing carpet up. Maybe we shouldn't have told that. But just from day one, God was working. We had probably 2 days into cutting the old concrete floors out. And we're saw cutting everything out to be able to pull everything out by pieces. And we start cutting electrical lines. Mm-hmm. And our original plans don't have our electrical going underground. We had like 3 different conduit runs that we could see off of the original plans from when this building was built. And next thing you know, we are in a pickle of what's going on with this. Fast forward, through that process, once we finally discovered what we had going on, we had about 30 different conduit runs that were underground. And praise the Lord, where we cut them, we were able to patch and repair them without going crazy, crazy from panel underground. But one amazing thing about that was we did not cut the main power to give all the internet to the campus. Mm. And so without that, we wouldn't have been able to do our live feeds. We wouldn't have been able to do so much of the stuff that they did in the fellowship hall for the sound booth. I mean, that was a hand of God. We were like 3 inches away from it. So how did we not do that? God. Totally God. And that was like the first week. It gets super fun. And so...
Yeah, one of the neat things during the demolition, we started on that Monday, and I don't know if he's here or not, but there was a guy who wandered in and said, hey, I got some community service to do. His name is Kevin. And so we're like, sweet, come on in. We're ripping things apart. And over the next 3 or 4 days, he not only did his community service, but helped us out. People got to share the Lord with him. And it was just, wow, Lord, you provided even an extra set of hands to help out too. And there was many of you guys. I was expecting maybe like 4 or 5 people to show up, and we had just an army of people.
Yeah.
I thought, we're going to finish this in a week.
Yeah, we nailed it. We nailed it. But Kevin was awesome. I mean, a guy who needed to do some community service from some past stuff, to just be walking by and see a big dump trailer. And he's like, hey, I don't know what you guys are doing. And we were able to share gospel with him. I met with him for lunch, was able to bring him out here. He ended up coming to service a couple times. I mean, it's truly the hand of God to be able to bless people like that. And because I think that one of the greatest things you've always told me is that church is a hospital for broken people to find
Amen.
Jesus. And that's what I love about this place is that don't show up with your shoes polished and all the things and expect to get a reward. Show up as you are and then let God do the work from there.
Yeah. Another thing I remembered that I thought was really cool to, unique for us. So my neighbor worked for a construction company. He had a painter contract and things like that. And so he was able to get us the paint to repaint this whole place at his cost. So basically, I think it probably saved us roughly about $7,000 to $10,000 of paint. 2 weeks later, he ended up losing his job. Not because of that, but it was just a point that he knew he was, it was just some mix-up and stuff. But, you know, again, the timing of God to go, I know you're doing that project. I want to care for my house. And he moves upon my neighbor to do that. Again, just one of those fingerprints, seeing God work.
Yeah. And with the painting aspect, that was the raw material. I don't know if you saw in the videos, the amount of prep work that needed to go in to put plastic on this whole ceiling. So as we're tearing up all the concrete, tearing out all the dirt, to be able to do all the prep work, the team that I brought in, his name is Roy. His team are all Christians. They're in here playing worship music. They're in here using lifts. We're getting everything done. And Roy blessed the church with about a half of a normal charge it would be to be able to do this whole thing.
Yeah.
And he just, you know, wanted to bless the community, wanted to be part of the church build and building the temple and to see the souls get saved, because this is where this starts. And for him to come in here and to do that was a huge benefit for us. And the amount of work, the extra stuff that we all just overlooked, and for him to just step up and get it done, that was absolutely huge for us.
And we had Aaron's boss.
Gosh. Aaron, where are you at? Oh, he's outside. He's on patrol right now. So at the project, we took about 8 dump truck loads of dirt out of here after we cut the concrete out to be able to build the tiers. After calling a handful of people, I used to be in the trucking industry, it was about $2,000 to bring enough dump trucks out here to pull the dirt away. Our brother Aaron, who everybody praised Aaron, he called his boss and he was able to do all the loads out of here, and his boss and Aaron did it for free. So another huge saving for sure.
Tell them about the city of Phoenix.
Yes.
That's so crazy.
Who here remembers all the construction that's been going on 32nd Street? All the pipes and Southwest Gas doing all the new repiping? Praise the Lord. Super awesome. I decided that we needed to get a big couple pieces of pipe. And for the size pipe that we needed, 12 inches by 16 feet, you're looking at a couple $1,000s per piece. I had a great idea. Let's go find a guy who's running that project and see if he'll give us some piping. Not kidding you. Found the guy who's running that project, told him the situation. He ended up just giving us the piping, brought it out here on a flatbed trailer, and then had a crane, pulled it off, and placed it exactly where we needed it to be. And he did that all to just bless us for the inconvenience of the construction out there. So next time you see that construction, be like, thank you for having him here.
Yeah.
So out of the years, we can say that was worth it right there.
The Lord knows his timing, right?
Because
we had no idea. I thought they were completely done with everything, and they start doing this thing down there, and you're going, are you kidding me? And it was just God's way of going, hey, this is how I'm going to provide. And God does the same thing in your lives too. He provides in unique ways to remind you that he's in charge, right?
Yeah.
Talk to him about the fire alarm.
Oh, yes.
Oof.
They're in the process of us cutting a bunch of the conduit. The fire panel for this building ended up getting fried. Through the process, I don't even know when I met this guy, but I meet this guy, Bobby, who used to lead worship for a big mega church. And it's just a cool story there. He's had some things, but it's been such an awesome opportunity to just share Jesus with him and get his insight. But he owns a fire company. And so we were able to replace our panel that burnt down. And normally that's a couple $1,000s. He was able to provide it for cost. And he had an annunciator, which was another $600-$700 piece that would have been an extra charge for us, just laying around that he had literally like a week before pulled it off of a different job and was just sitting there and was able to donate it to us. And the amount of work that he did, for how much electrical wire he did, all the stuff, he gave us everything at cost just to bless the church, bless the community. And that was absolutely huge, because I didn't even put a number. That's not my field of, but I'm sure we...
All these things just remind us that God is in control. So we hit this last week, and Matt, I want you to come up here.
Yeah.
I know, you don't know. Go ahead and give your Matt. Don't go anywhere. So this is Midnight Matt, and
yeah.
And tell them what happened briefly on a few days. Last week, as he's here working the midnight shift, he hears something.
So I don't know if you guys know, I work better at night for some reason. So I was here pretty late at night. It must have been 11 o'clock or so. And I thought I saw something on the carpet, and I called Chris, woke him up, FaceTime him. You should have saw his hair. It was great. But we're talking, and he's like, oh, I think we're going to be okay. So then I go back to work, and a couple minutes later, I hear this rustling outside here. And I'm like, surely Chris didn't drive down here to check things out. It could be him. But then I hear some more banging and clunking and stuff, and I'm like, what is going on? So I head to the foyer to look out these doors, and I see these guys walking across the campus, and they're checking every glass door, they're looking in the windows, they're casing the place. So I'm kind of watching what they're doing, and finally I get irritated, and I'm just like, okay, that's it. So I step out there, I'm like, excuse me, can I help you guys? And they're like, oh, we're doing this, and we're waiting for an Uber, and they lied because their car was parked. You know the silver Ballards up there that keep cars from coming in? They were like pulled right up to that. So anyway, I kind of chased them off the property, but then as I'm looking around, I realized that they had taken all the electrical stuff, and they had turned it off, and they were banging things around out there. So fortunately, I was able to kind of chase them off in that moment so that they wouldn't damage the church or do anything, steal anything. But the Lord got them because they drove over the curb and hurt their car on the way out. So Jesus is watching. Jesus is watching, but I was like, get him, God, you go.
He's our guard,
you
know? Dog.
But yeah, you know, that's just God's way and his timing again. You know, these people come on the property not knowing what's going on, and then here I am to kind of chase them off and protect the place. So
appreciate it.
Yeah.
So I have one last thing I wanted to give this guy here. You got to open this.
I got to open
this? You got to open this because it ties in with everything. So open it. So,
oh, that's great, dude.
So this shirt, from the beginning, there was a verse I was reading through when God told Moses to build the tabernacle. He said, basically, I'm giving you a guy by the name of Bezalel who is skilled in all the knowledge and the workmanship to be able to do this. And so read the verse on there. I think that's what it is. It's what it says. It says Bezalel.
Bezalel, I have filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom and understanding and knowledge and in all craftsmanship.
There you are.
31:3.
Yep. So we joked about the whole time that we're going to make this shirt for you that says, I am Bezalel. And people will be like, what in the world is that?
I know, right?
But now you got it. So our gift to you. Thank you for everything, buddy.
I mean, it truly was an honor. It truly was an honor.
Thanks, buddy. Love you, buddy. I want to share with you something out of the Word real quick because I think that's important to see. In 2 Chronicles chapter 7, if you want to turn there real quick. 2 Chronicles is in the Old Testament there. When King Solomon had dedicated the temple, he had built to the Lord. By the way, it took him 7 years to do it. Ours took 100 days. He stood and he prayed to the Lord for his blessings upon that place. And in his prayer then, he listed some of the challenging times that they might face and how when people came to this temple to pray that God would hear, that God would heal, and that God would forgive. And when he finished, I want you to see what happened. Chapter 7, verses 1 through 3. 2 Chronicles 7, 1 through 3. When Solomon had finished praying, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the temple. And the priests could not enter the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. When all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down and the glory of the Lord on the temple, they bowed their faces to the ground on the pavement and worshiped and praised the Lord, saying, "For he is good. His mercy endures forever. There was three things. There was a falling of fire, as if God said, I've heard your prayers and I see your sacrifices and they are acceptable to me. Secondly, there was a filling of his presence in that place, the Lord reminding his people, I am there, I am with you. And thirdly, there was the falling down of the people in worship and praise, surrendering their heart, saying he is good and his mercy endures forever. And that's the testimony that I pray that you come away with in this place and in this church. We want people to see God's goodness for them, whether it's through the cross of salvation or through the word of God as he teaches you and directs your steps. We want you to say that, man, his mercy is enduring forever and his faithfulness, no matter what I've been through, is strong on my behalf. That he is a good God and he loves us forever and ever, even more than we know. And so may this place, as we kind of close out, may this place be a place where, as we have up there, that we love God and we love him with all our heart and that we learn his word and we grow in that grace and knowledge of God. In fact, I'm standing on the word right now. What you saw in the video, for those of you who don't know, we had this idea to take the word, a Bible, and I signed it and dated it and I wrote a verse out of 2 Timothy 4 that said, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season. And we took that Bible, put it in a Ziploc bag, and we buried it right in the concrete here so that whoever is here teaching is literally standing upon the word of God. And that's a testimony for us as a church. But we want this place to be a place where we love God and we love his word and we grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. And we want to be a place where we definitely love one another the right way. The church is a hospital. It's not a country club, it's a hospital. We come in as we are, broken, messed up, and we find God put us back together. And we're just a bunch of nurses saying, what do you want to do, Dr. Jesus? Helping each other out along the way. And lastly, that we do share Jesus. That he's the hope. He's the hope of humanity. He's our hope. And he's truly the only one that can change lives. And so let's close with a word of prayer.